Okay, we're going to read together from Ecclesiastes. We're for the final time. We've spent some weeks looking at this book that sits in the middle of the Old Testament. If you get to Psalms and you just go forward, you'll get to Proverbs, and then you hit Ecclesiastes. And the reading we're going to read from is chapter 11, verse 7, and then through to the end of the book. So once you're there, we'll begin. Okay, are you there? Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. Isn't that the truth? It pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young man, while you're young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know for all these things, God will bring you a judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire is no longer stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him, your Creator, before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there's no end, and much study wearies the body. Now, all has been heard. Here's a conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. Well, thus ends this little book, sitting in between the pages of the Old Testament. And what's been going on in the whole of this book? The preacher, the one who's gone to find out what's life really about, in a sense has gone to the far edge of negativity. You know, when we began this little series, people went, oh, Ecclesiastes. And the more we've read it, the more people have gone, oh, Ecclesiastes. Because it's like almost relentlessly negative. But actually what he's done is he's gone and he's searched to the edges of this negativity. And he said, what's there? You see, if this book, this little book, was just about all doom and gloom, and if it was just completely negative, and if it were just saying, actually, folks, life's awful, it would never have been included in the Bible. Who would have put it in that canon of Scripture? Who would have said, I think that's a good idea? So you've got to ask yourself, so what did they see? What were they seeing when they decided, actually, this is part of what you need to hear? If you're going to be a people of God, you need to hear this. What did they hear that we need to hear? Well, when we got to the end of that little passage, there was this little phrase. Now all's been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And that's a really orthodox way of ending. It's like, I've searched all around the world, I've looked for riches, I've looked for knowledge, I've looked for sex, I've looked for building projects, I've looked at work. I don't know why I'm looking at you. I'm glad I looked at you at that point and not the previous one. The building projects, and at the end of the day, this is what I want to tell you, says the preacher. Fear God and keep his commands. And it's like, did you have to do all that stuff first to get us there? Well, there was this word that kept coming up all the time, wasn't there? Meaningless. Or if you were reading in the Pew Bible, it was vanity. Now, it's not a warning about being vain. It's in vain. It's like, and what the preacher kept saying is, all of this thing, everything I keep looking at, it's like, and the word, it's not that it's got no point. It's actually much closer to this thing. Nothing stays the same. You can't bank on anything. Everything keeps moving. Everything changes. You can't put your trust in any of it. Everything is meaningless. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. Except one thing. Two things. Two things stay the same. God and you're going to die. Those are the two things that the preacher keeps coming back to. There's God and you're not here forever. So how do you live? That's the question. How do you live? When actually everything keeps changing, you can't be certain about stuff. How are you going to live? I've said it time and time again. The preacher in Ecclesiastes does not flinch from the reality of life. And he does not want you to have a spirituality that says, I can escape all of the reality of life. When you come to follow Jesus, Jesus does not say, I'll let you escape this stuff. He actually calls you back into facing up to it. And I think the preacher does that. He's like a man who smacks you around the face and goes, you can't run away from this stuff. So what does he say? What's the climax of his argument? Well, if you've got your Bible still open, let me just work through it with you. Light is sweet and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young man. Enjoy the days that you have. He simply points to the fact that actually you know that on the days of sunshine, the days like yesterday, the days like today, that actually it brings a joy to your heart. Small thing, won't last. Tomorrow it'll rain. But today, enjoy your days. One of the things that the preacher wants you to do is to actually ask yourself, is there a choice here? Do you have a choice about how you're facing up to your own life? However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. I wonder whether at the end of a day, do you ever ask yourself, where was the glory today? Where was God today? What made me smile today? At the end of a day, just an ordinary day, do you sort of wrap it up in your mind somewhere along the line that just says, I was glad about that. And actually, I was thankful for that. I don't mean the big days when things are obviously great. I mean the everyday day. Today's day. Just before the day ends, what is it that you go, I think I glimpsed something of God there? Because this is the thing, if you don't, And if you always live, well, maybe tomorrow, you'll find the days of darkness come quicker than you imagine. And I think what the preacher is doing in this whole passage, he wants to scream at us, live now. Don't keep putting it off. Don't make the big decisions tomorrow. Do it now. Live now. Because actually now is the day when you're called to find God. Stop your days slipping away, for they slip away only too quickly. And then he turns to the young people. And he tells them to be happy. Be happy while you're young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. When I was thinking about this, I think there's something about where you put your emphasis in these verses. For some people, the emphasis on the verses would be not follow the ways of your heart, not whatever your eyes see, follow those, but it would be God's going to bring you to judgment. There is a sort of a strain of the church, and it's sort of like typified by one of the groups of the Presbyterian Church in the far northern reaches of Scotland, who on Sundays tie up the swings. They tie up the swings so that nobody would enjoy them on Sunday. For this is the Lord's Day. And it is. But just in case you find yourself tempted to have fun, we'll help you by tying up the swings. And there's that way of seeing it. Or there's another way of seeing it that says this. That knowing that one day God's going to ask you, what did you do with what you had? Are like the central reservation crash barriers that keep you on the road. And I think that will be the deal. I think the judgment of God will be when God says to us, his people, and those who love him, and those who have surrendered their need to him, God will simply say, what did you do with what I gave you? Because you had so much. And to be honest, on a really basic level, did you enjoy it? Or did you spurn it because it wasn't good enough? Be happy. Remember to be happy. Be happy while you're young. Now, some of you are not going to like the next bit where I'm going to go with this. But he does speak to young people, and in this little bit, follow the ways of your heart, whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring judgment. So actually, let those be your crash barriers. So it doesn't mean you can do whatever you like, but it means actually for a heart that's set after God, risk, take risks, do things, banish anxiety from your heart, and cast off the troubles of your body. For youth doesn't last forever. In the session before the church began, one of the questions we were talking about is, I asked some of the younger people who were there, what stops them? What are their issues? So that we who are older might be able to help. And one of the things that came back, and it was a really interesting response, was that when you're in your 20s and in your early 30s, it's that struggle of, can I take risks? Because actually, I've got nothing. I'm putting it in my own words now. But there's nothing. I've not got enough track record to know I can do it. And I was reflecting on the idea that when you're 25, 10 years ago, you were 15. You were just a child. When you're older than that, 10 years ago is like 2002, and some of us still think we're living there. You know, it feels like yesterday. So, and I want to say, and I just want to go with the text on this and actually say it directly to those of you that are in your 20s and 30s. Go for it. Go for it. Banish anxiety. The anxiety that says, I don't know if I can. The anxiety that says, have I got enough? The anxiety that says, I don't know if. And actually choose to live your life before God. Cast off the troubles of your body and live. But not exactly how you like. Because he qualifies it in the very beginning of the next chapter. He said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. This is what going for it means. It's not just casting off restraint and doing whatever you feel. It's actually, God is my Creator, I'm His. And actually, I'm being made in His image. I've been made in His image, I'm being renewed in His image. But remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And the preacher goes on, before the days of trouble comes. And I just want, what he's doing, and I want to take some time because it's not obvious what's being said here, but it's brilliant poetry. But like all poetry, you have to dig around for it. Poetry is not like instructions that tell you how to make a souffle. You don't want, or something, you know, whatever you're making for your meal today, if you're going to follow a recipe, you don't want it to be in poetry. All right. You want, it needs 300 milliliters of this. You don't want some sort of poetic form. But this is poetry, and you've got to dig under it. And what the preacher is saying is this. You've got to remember the days, that remember your Creator now, because the days will come when life will get more complicated. And he just outlines it. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. And he's talking about this idea that what goes on, if you think about the clouds after rain, is that in a, particularly in a Middle Eastern context, you'd get the rain, you'd get the clouds, and it would rain and rain and rain. And then actually, and some of you have been there, you know, the clouds go and it's blue sky again. But actually, no. You get to a state in life when sometimes it just feels like clouds keep rolling in. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, what we think's going on there is the keepers of your house are your arms or your strength, and the strong men is reference to your back, when your back stoops. When your grinders cease, what are your grinders? Your teeth. When your teeth cease, because they are few. When those looking through the window, your eyes grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding face, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. You can't hear so good. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms, what's that got to do with anything? Except the blossom of almond tree is white, and so is your hair. I love this bit. When the grasshopper drags himself along. Do you know what I mean? You're designed for zip and zing, and your zip and zing have gone. And when desire is no longer stirred, well, don't call out. You get the picture? So, what's he saying? He's saying, well, actually, do it now. Live for God now. Don't waste what you've got now. Don't wait. And, you know, that classic thing in Britain of religion is for children and old people. No, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, yes, it is. Yes, it is as well. Of course it is. But actually, faith. It's about people who go, I'm not like that yet. Because faith, and this is why, because faith is not having a comfort. Faith is being enlisted into a mission. And I think that's why some people think that church is about old people and children, because it's comfort for them. But I don't see that in the call of Jesus at all. I think what Jesus does is he calls us and goes, I want to enroll you on my mission, so please don't wait. Please don't wait until your body's giving out on you. Now is the moment to remember your Creator. Before the days of trouble come, now. So we get to the bottom line. So fear God and keep his commands. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, it says in Proverbs. And fear is not this knee-jerk, trembling fear, but it's this idea of actually you're in a relationship with God. You recognize who he is, and you recognize who you are, and keep his commands. These commands in the Old Testament were not about what do we do in church alone or in worship alone, but the commands were how do we live? How do I make sense of the fact that I'm a part of the chosen people of God living for his purpose? How do I live then? And if you read the Old Testament, of course, you know that it took in everything. It took in how you built your house, how you you reaped your crops, how you sowed your crops, what clothes you wore, what food you ate, how you brought up your children, how you cared for your elderly. Everything comes under the purview of God. What I've wanted to do all the time when we've been preaching through Ecclesiastes is remind us of what Jesus is doing. Because it's not like Jesus comes and says, well, all of that's the Old Testament, don't worry about that, I'm here. In many ways, I hear Jesus saying very similar things to the writer of Ecclesiastes. Everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus said, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And I think where the preacher leaves us in Ecclesiastes is where Jesus leaves us at the Sermon on the Mount. He's asking you, how are you building? How are you building your house? How are you building your life? Because the thing about the little parable of the house on rock and the house on sand, you know this, the thing about that little parable is the storm hits both. It's not that if you build your house on the rock, the storm will bypass you. It's the storm will come. But actually, how you build is the difference. I think what Ecclesiastes is doing is this. You can't know everything that's going to happen to you. You can't predict what's going to happen in your life. You can't know what's going to be in you and around you or happening to you. But you can know your Creator. The writer of Ecclesiastes, he says, the world's actually quite confusing. It seems to promise so much, but it actually delivers so little. So his landing point is, fear God, keep his commands. And when Jesus is teaching, he does the same. Jesus comes to a people and he says to them, and he says it to us this morning, you're building something, you're all building something. It's not a choice, do we live this life or not? We're all living it. It's just, what are we basing it on? Are we basing our lives on trusting Jesus? On trusting the fact that actually, ultimately, he's the only one who can rescue us from ourselves, number one. That actually on the cross and in the resurrection, what he does is rescue us from ourselves and says, I'll give you a new start. But more than that, he gives us a way of living
that says, I'm trustworthy. Live it my way. And as I've said many, many times, we live in a world where there's lots of other options. And so to follow Jesus is not the easy option. But it is the one that when the storm comes, and the storm will come, means your house stands firm. So fear God and keep his commands. And if you're young, don't get old before your time. Banish anxiety and live for God. And last thing, if you're older and there's days when you wake up and you're dragging your body like a grasshopper who has lost its spring, you belong to a community of people and you have something to offer. Because you know a number of things. You know what it's like to be young. And you know how fast time flies. So encourage the young to live. Because you know what it was like for you. Let's just pause for a minute. In the midst of all that, I want you just to think, okay, so what's the thing I really want to take home? What's the word? What's the concept? What's the idea that I want to hold on to? And then I also want to make a challenge. And the challenge is simple. But there's a moment for each of us when we have to say, I'm going to make that choice of following Jesus. I'm going to respond to the call that I hear. I'm going to stop living for myself, and I'm going to live the way of Jesus. And it might be that today is a day when you want to say, I want to take a step as a follower of Jesus. I want to actually know the forgiveness that comes. That's the result of doing everything my own way. I want to know that forgiveness. I want to build my life on a rock that's solid. I want to live a new life for the sake of God and for the sake of his purpose. And I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if that's relevant for you, then you can pray along with me, as it were. You might even whisper amen at the end to it. And then you can come and talk to us and say, I prayed that prayer. I did that. And we can talk further. Lord Jesus, you're the one who came to make sense of the lives that we lead. Lord, I pray that we would build our lives on the rock of Jesus. You came to rescue us. You came to rescue us from ourselves. You came to rescue us from the mess that we're in. You came to give us new life. Lord Jesus, may we receive that and live, really live for you. Lord, some of us might have been in church for ages, but we know that it's really easy to live our own way. But Lord, I pray that we'll build our lives on your rock. So when the storm comes, Lord, we'll know the security that you bring to us. And I want to pray a blessing on us, Lord. I want to pray a blessing on the folks who are older in our congregation. I want to pray a blessing on them that they might be the encouragers of a whole new generation. I want to pray, Lord, that as long as they are able, they will get alongside the young and simply cheer them on. Lord, thank you that in your kingdom, none of us ever get to a stage where we're useless. Lord, may you use us for the sake of others. And Lord, for those of us who we think we're still young, Lord, I pray that we will commit ourselves to following you in this day. That, Lord, we will commit ourselves to not being captured by our anxiety, but, Lord, determined to follow you. Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon us and your grace and your mercy might be ours. And that we will live lives of joy and enjoyment. Lives that actually give recognition to the Creator who's made all things. That give that acknowledge the Savior who rescues all things and renews all things. Lord, come, we pray by your Spirit and rest upon us in the name of Jesus.